is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us begin this service with the singing of Psalter 185, stanzas 5 through 7. Well known to thee is my reproach, my shame and my disgrace. The adversaries of my soul are all before thy face. Psalter 185, stanzas 5, 6, and 7. Scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, the 19th chapter, beginning with verse 25 through verse 42. John 19, verses 25 to the end. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, and that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth and that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. And then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, and all-decreeing God, even from that never-begun eternity, we may be gathered, though not in a physical way in thy house, yet gathered as a congregation in this evening, round about thy holy word. And we may acknowledge thee for the possibility that we are yet able to bring and to hear that word in this evening hour. And we do according to the way of thy church for many years already as set aside this day that we may commemorate that most important event what thou hast come into this world to do, that thou may pay the price for sin. Oh, that we might feel something in this evening hour of what sin it did cost thee. For we do go our way in this life, and we have thy law, but we do not feel the seriousness of sin. We do not see the evil of sin, nor do we know the grief that it does cause thee, and what that it has caused thy dear and only begotten Son. Thou art holy, and thou canst not look upon or dwell with sin, and yet thou wast pleased to come into this sin-cursed world, that thou mayest endure the consequences of the sin of thy people. And then thou knowest each and every one of them who are wrought upon by thy Holy Spirit, and what sin does become unto them. O Lord, then it must by thy Spirit become the greatest evil that we may desire to be delivered from, that we may be given in this evening to see and to feel, and by that regenerating work of thy most Holy Spirit, what sin has brought into this world, and what it has brought upon ourselves. All around us the consequences are evident, for there is so much sickness, there is so much death, there is so much sorrow, and there is so much mourning. But unless thou dost touch our heart, we yet remain hard and cold under all the callings that thou dost send unto us. Oh, that thou may show to us the cause of all our misery and of all our wretchedness. Show to us the cause of all our guilt. Show to us the cause of all our fears. But to show unto us also in this evening, oh, do open unto us a little of that blessed treasure in which we may commemorate in this evening hour. Oh, that thy children, those who are bowed down with grief, that they may receive eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand. Oh, a little light from above. What is now the answer of thee upon the sin of thy church? For that church does make an attempt to make it right with thee. But Lord, that is so impossible. Thou knowest where that people are, and thou knowest how that it goes in their life. The more that they make an attempt, the more impossible that it becomes. When they see more and more what the existence of sin is, within and without, that it is sin from the crown of the head unto the sole of the foot. Oh, then the despair that comes up in their heart, that is more than that they are able to bear. But Lord, thou art able to open unto them And what thou hast said concerning thyself, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. Oh, could it please thee to draw them by thy Spirit unto thyself, and that they may receive new eyes, spiritual eyes to behold thee, and what thou hast done, for we have read it out of thy holy word. And thou didst declare it upon that cursed tree. It is finished, so that there is nothing that needs to be added anymore. Oh, could it please thee to give for the first time and by renewal a little of that true saving faith? Oh, and I to behold that sacrifice that has been completely finished, and I to behold the finished work of the only begotten Son of God, that sacrifice that was laid upon the altar and that was consumed thereby. O Lord, could it please thee to show unto us how that sin has been taken away, and how that it has thy sacrifice has been to the satisfaction of all the justice demanded of thy Father. O Lord, that thou may look upon thy people, wilt thou give an increase in their number, and wilt thou show unto them the beauty of thy work, that they may see and behold something that would make them rejoice in this evening hour, that they may be given faith to believe, that they may be given faith to appropriate it unto themselves. For it is a faith that is a gift of God, and it is alone this by which they are able to receive that full and that complete salvation. Oh, do it, Lord, for thy name's sake. Then alone there can be a rejoicing, and then alone there can be an exalting of thy holy and thy thrice worthy name. Oh, grant unto each and every one of us together that we may receive and desire, that we may look for, that we may seek the blessings which do come out of thy holy word, by the power of thy most holy Spirit. Remember us in the days in which we are living. Thou knowest all our circumstances and the circumstances of this entire world that we do live in. O Lord, turn us yet again and bring us back unto thee. Oh, that these may be days wherein also the nations of this world may be given also to turn unto the true and the living God, that there may be a balm found in Gilead, for there is a true physician there. Then remember all those that rule and reign, or that thou may give them wisdom to exercise the authority that is placed upon them. Give to us obedience to those that rule over us. Wilt thou grant the blessing upon the decisions that are made? And could it please thee to stay thy hand? Remember the many that are sick, the many that are mourning. O, be thou unto them a physician and a comfort in days of sorrow, of missing, and of grief. Do strengthen thy servants all over the length and the breadth of this whole world, also in the Netherlands, one of thy servants. O Lord, that thou hast brought him through thus far, O that thou mayst strengthen him further, and wilt thou bring him home again, and grant him once again to ascend unto that pulpit by which that he may testify of the goodness of the Lord, who has delivered him from death. O that thou may look upon us and all our children, those that teach them, help them day by day in the circumstances wherein we are. And wilt thou give strength under all these ways? Be with us in this hour, when for a little moment we are separated from all the busyness and the cares of this world. Oh, this time does fly past us, so that we are taken up with so many cares. But thou hast said there is one thing that is needful. Oh, could it please thee in this evening to bind it upon the hearts both of young and old, that it may become necessary and that it may become precious unto us. What thou hast recorded in thy holy word, help us, Lord, be on our right and on our left hand. Forgive and take away our many, many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us continue with the singing of Psalter 109, all the stanzas. The offering on the altar burned gives no delight to thee. The hearing ear, the willing heart, thou givest unto me. Psalter 109, all the stanzas. Beloved congregation, this coming Sunday, and the Lord willing, and then we hope to commemorate the great event of Easter, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus from the dead. That is a feast day of the Church of God. The world also speaks about this day. For many in the world, it is typically the single day that they would come together in the house of God. But the joy of Easter, that has a backdrop for the true church. And what is that backdrop? That is Good Friday. Good Friday, that is as necessary to Easter as hunger is to eating, as an appetite is to a feast. Without death, there can be no resurrection. That was so in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that is no different in the life of God's true church. That is no different in the experience of the life of that people. And yet that is something that is so generally denied in our days. Such rejoice with a superficial faith that sings about life, but there is no acquaintance with death. That sings about deliverance, but there is no acquaintance with misery. So it was not with the true disciples of the Lord Jesus. Because through faith, that needs a foundation. Does it need a foundation in your life also? Because our soul is precious. And if our soul is precious, and then we may not allow it to be deceived. And thus the Lord, He provides a foundation, both objectively and also subjectively in the life of His children. Let us consider something of this in this evening hour out of the words of our text, which we have read together in John 19, and thereof the 35th verse, John 19, verse 35. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. So far, the words of our text. The record of John. First, the purpose of this record. We find that at the end of this text. That ye might believe. Second, the truth of this record. And he that saw it bear record. And his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true. The record of John, first the purpose, and second the truth of this record. That ye might believe. What are the feelings that are provoked in your soul by these words? That ye might believe. Believe. There was a man that we can read of in the Bible that lived in the time of the Lord Jesus, and his son that was possessed by a devil. What an awful thing. His own son, his beloved son, possessed by a devil. The devil tried to kill him. They would cast him, boys and girls, sometimes into the water. who had cast him sometimes into the fire. O, the devil, do you follow the temptations of the devil? Do you know what the devil desires to do to you? The same as with that boy. He tries with all those temptations to cast you into the water, to cast you into the fire, because the devil, his mission and his aim, that is to slay and bring men to condemnation. Do you have a son? Do you have a daughter? That is your flesh. That is your blood. There is none that you care for so much. You say, I would do anything for my son, anything for my daughter when we see them in misery. So that was also with this man. Brought his son to the disciples of the Lord Jesus. Oh, can you help him? Can you cast out that devil? Those disciples, they have spoken. They have commanded. They have tried to cast out that devil, but they were not able. What a disappointment for this father. He brings him to Jesus. And what does Jesus say to him? He says, do you believe, can you believe that I am able to do this? If thou canst believe, he says, all things are possible to him that believeth. Believe? Is that all he has to do? That sounds, young people, that sounds like just such an easy thing, doesn't it? All he has to do is to believe. And yet how difficult that is for that father. What men in the whole world would desire more than that father for the sake of his poor son. That he in that moment, that he might believe. Believe? The disciples, they have tried it. They have spoken. They have commanded. And we have seen. There was such a great disappointment. He had hoped. But his hope was put to shame. And now Jesus, can Jesus cast out that devil? Can I believe it? Do I believe it? For that man, he feels it. There is nothing so impossible for himself as to believe. He feels the unbelief that ye might believe. There is a people, they say, precious faith. There is nothing that I desire more, because by faith, by faith, we receive the blessings that are the greatest blessings that we can receive in this world. Do not receive the temporal things, children, this way, young people. No, you receive this way spiritual things, eternal things, things that are more worth than everything that you can find in this world. What does Paul say? By faith, he received what? He received justification. By faith, then he was forgiven all his iniquity. You know what he said? There is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Is not faith a precious thing? By faith, Isaiah says that he was covered with the garments of salvation. He was covered with that robe of righteousness, even as the bridegroom decketh himself with his ornaments, and as the bride, as she clothes herself with her jewels, so that he was also clothed with a beautiful robe of righteousness. That was by faith. By faith, Peter, He says that he was begotten unto a lively hope. To what? Oh, to an incorruptible inheritance that fadeth not away, never died, can never be lost, preserved in heaven, precious faith. Oh, what greater thing can we covet? No, they say in this world, young people, they have a saying that says that if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you teach him how to fish, you feed him for his whole life. That is true. And now think about faith. Oh, if you may now receive faith, if you may now receive true saving faith, you receive a hand. You receive a hand that is able to receive all the greatest blessings that can be found for time and for eternity. Precious faith, that ye might believe. Oh, why? Why does the Lord say that in his holy word, that ye might believe? Is that not a wonder that the Lord gives in his holy word that which is necessary that ye might believe? Faith that is so necessary. With faith, then we receive the greatest blessings. Without faith, then we receive the greatest punishment. We receive the greatest curses. The Lord Jesus, he spoke about those who would be cut asunder, and who would receive their portion with the unbelievers. Oh, are we an unbeliever? Is that to us a burden? Unbelief that is subject to the wrath of the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is worthy to be believed. And the Lord, he is displeased, he is provoked when he is not believed. Is that not also with us, parents? Or if our children, or you, young people, if you are a friend, you would say this or that, you say, it is true, it is true. They say, no, I do not believe you. Oh, they turn about, they cast it to the wind. But faith that is pleasing unto the Lord, it honors the Lord at his holy word, that ye might believe. What do you say to this? Do you say also in this evening, oh, precious faith, oh, if I also only might believe? There is a people, they know what it is to believe. And if you will ask them how that is when they may believe, then they will tell you that it is something that is so sweet, that it is so comfortable. Oh, there was a time that Hannah, oh, she may believe. And she may be delivered through that faith from all her sorrows, from all her tears. Then when she believed, then she may sing. Oh, there had nothing changed in her life. And yet within her heart, oh, it was so different when she believed. Then she said, my soul, my heart that rejoices in the Lord, my horn that is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies. I rejoice in thy salvation. Oh, is that not a sweet thing? Is that not a pleasant thing to believe? After all her sorrow, after all her mourning, after all her despondency in the bitter trial. But when faith, oh, that may come into exercise and she may only believe, oh, then there is no one that could make her sad anymore. Then Peninnah, she can continue to mock but there are no more tears. Solomon knew what it was to believe. What did he say? He said, I am black. Oh, he believed that. Do you believe that too? I am black. Oh, or do we not feel anything of this? I am black. Do you know what Solomon may say? And that is the way of the Lord with his children. Oh, he gives them truly to believe, I am black. But there comes also another time that the Lord, he gives them to believe something else. And Solomon, he said it. He said, I am black, but comely. Oh, ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon, is that not pleasant? Oh, faith. Faith may believe that he is comely. No, he could not find that comeliness within himself. He found that comeliness in another. And that comeliness that did cover him as a garment, so that all of that blackness that could no longer be seen, oh, I am black, but comely, that blackness he did feel to continue. Do you not feel it, people of the Lord? Oh, you go through your life. What is now your burden? What is now that which brings you down in sorrow each and every day? Or is it not that blackness? And yet he may believe. Yet he may say, I am comely. Is that not pleasant? What did Paul say? Oh, he could believe. Then he said, I am ready to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Oh, congregation, we live in fearful times. Oh, then all of us, I think we have thought about it at least for a moment in the weeks that have gone by. Oh, children, then we would say that disease that would come here, that would come to Fort McLeod. Oh, then what would happen to us? Oh, if I now were overtaken by that disease or by any other disease, oh, that it would overtake me. And now when I would have to die, when I would have to go out of this life to exchange time for eternity, then how would it be with me? Oh, were there not fears that did well up in your heart? And now believing, faith, do you see the preciousness? Paul, he said, I am ready to depart. Oh, he said, it is far better to depart. Oh, than to be with Christ. Oh, that is far better than to remain in this world. Oh, is that not then a precious, a blessed thing? That ye might believe. Oh, there are those who know what it is to believe. Do we know what it is to believe? Believing is a gift of God. And they will tell you how precious that it is. And they will tell you how transitory that it is also. And they are without power to bring that believing back again. No, they are not strangers of faith. They are not strangers of faith in the shadows, as it were, of that word of God. Even as we see that the Lord has given it in his ceremonial law under the cover of types in the Old Testament. Oh, then it was a believing, yes. But all those things, they were so far away. They were hidden under those types. Oh, there was not so much understanding. And yet they may receive a little taste, a little sip, a little ray of light in the darkness. And when those sacrifices, they were laid upon the altar of the Lord, oh, then Then you say, oh, there was a moment. They were just little moments. But I think in those moments that I truly may believe, because then there was hope and there was an expectation in my heart. But oh, it was so small, though it was incomparably sweet. It was so transitory, though it was incomparably precious. Oh, that ye might believe. How many of the church do not hear these words with a longing heart? Oh, that there may be a banishment of unbelief and a strengthening in faith. A strengthening in the faith for what? Oh, congregation, they are a church militant. It is a people who are in the warfare. Are you in the warfare? It is a warfare with sin. Oh, is sin unto us an enemy? And now that people, oh, they say, if I could now only believe. Oh, if I could only believe like David believed. When David went out and he had such a great courage, oh, then he did not have strength in the armor of a man. He did not have have faith. He did not believe in the sword of a man. No, he had to lay all this beside, and he has taken that weapon of faith. And he has gone with so much courage against that great enemy, that great Goliath, who did tower above him in his great strength. And he was but a young lad. Oh, he was ruddy. Oh, if I could but believe as David. But instead, there is a fear. Oh, instead I have a fear. I have a fear that sin, oh, that giant, that's the strength of it, that it is going to overcome me. And so that people, they go limp, as it were, unto the battleground, fearful. They are timorous. Oh, they are unbelieving. They think that they have to fight with their own sword. They think that they have to fight in their own strength. Oh, they are more like David, as he was when he had to flee from Saul. Oh, then David, in that temptation, in that trial, oh, he could not believe. The Lord, he had promised him the kingdom. And yet David, he said, I shall one day now perish. And by the hand of Saul, is that not now how it is so often, people of the Lord? In that struggle, in that militant church, in that warfare, oh, you say, I shall now one day succumb. Oh, I shall fall, and I shall fall away. Oh, then sin that shall have dominion over me, your hands, they can be so weak in that fight that ye might believe. Oh, that is not a reason. That is not a reason that John, he makes this record. That is exactly for this people. This people, they need helps to believe. There is a people in the world that find it so easy. Oh, they can believe in times of prosperity and in adversity, it seems. In times of joy and in times of sorrow. They need no helps. Why not? Because sin, that is no Goliath. It is not even an enemy. But the Lord, he is giving helps to his people, because he knows the struggle of faith. He knows the difficulty of true faith, and he would have them to believe. Because faith that is so to his honor and to his glory, and faith that is sowed to the comfort, the consolation, and the salvation of that true church of God. And therefore, John, he says it. He says that ye might believe. That was in our first place. That was the purpose of his record. That was the very reason that John has written it down. And the Spirit of the Lord, he has inspired this in the Holy Word of God. Oh, that Word of God that is the object of faith for the church of God. It is written for a purpose, the Word of God. Word of God is written that ye might believe and that ye might be saved. But what is it now that John writes here? What is it now specifically that John is recording here for the sake of that people that they might believe? That is our second thought, the truth of that record. And he saw, and he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. And he that saw it, who is that? That is the Apostle John himself. Thus John says, I have seen it. Thus John, he is an eyewitness. What is the value of an eyewitness? Children, what is the value of an eyewitness? An eyewitness, that means a person who has seen something with his very eyes. If you are accused of something, your mother or your father say, did you do it? You say, no, mother. No, mother, father, I did not do it. No, they say, I think you have done it. I think so. And then you say, mother, call brother, call sister. Why? Because they were there. They have seen it. Then they may ask them, may ask your brother, your sister, did he do it? No, mother, no, father, he did not do it. And then you are so glad, right? Oh, you are so glad. Because there is there someone who can tell the truth, and you were not able to make that truth known to your mother, known to your father. If you go into the court, then the judge is always looking for a witness, an eyewitness, somebody who was there, someone who has seen it, someone who has actually heard it. Thus, an eyewitness that is very valuable, that is valuable to make the truth evident, manifest, to bring it out. We read about David. He said to Ahimaaz, is the young man Absalom safe? And then Ahimaaz, he said, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. And what did David do? He set him to the side. Well, he was of no use to him anymore. He said, you are no eyewitness, so you are not a help to me. And now what does John say? John says, and he that saw it. He that saw it bear record. He said, I did not receive it by hearsay. I have seen it with my own eyes. I have seen every detail. You say, what did he see? Yes. Oh, what did he see? He saw something of great value. of an inestimable value to that true church of God. He saw something of value in order that that people might believe. What was that? We're going to sing first. Psalter 47, stanzas 1, 7, 8, and 9. My God, I cry to Thee. Oh, why hast Thou forsaken me? Afar from me Thou dost not heed. Though day and night for help I plead. 1, 7, 8, and 9 of Psalter 47.
Great day, man.
And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true. What did John see? What was John an eyewitness of? What do we read? And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And he also saw something else. He saw the soldiers, how that they break the legs of the other malefactors, but not Jesus. Why? Because they saw that he was dead already. Then he saw something else. He saw one of the soldiers with a spear pierce his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Thus we have the record. What is the record? It is a witness of the death of Jesus and also of the manner. That is what he bore record of. He says, I have seen it with my own eyes. And therefore he says, he knoweth that he saith true. There is no enemy that shall ever be able to say that it is not true. There is no enemy that will ever be able to say that the Lord Jesus, he has not died. And how that he has died. The Lord has taken care of this. And yet, that is not all that John has borne record of. There are many people, and they are dying every day, especially in these days. We can read here about two thieves. They have also died. Oh, that was spoken of also by the apostles. There are other persons also that saw the Lord Jesus die. And yet they did not see everything that John saw. Nor could they bear witness. Nor could they bear that same record that John bore. Why is that? Because John was not only seeing with natural eyes. No, John, he was given to see with other eyes. He was given to see with spiritual eyes, the eyes of his soul. John, he bare record, also in this case by the inspiration of the Spirit of the Lord, O congregation. The Lord ever give you to see with spiritual eyes. When John saw with spiritual eyes, then he bare record. That is, he gave a certain record. That is an infallible record. It was a sure record. So it is. When our soul may see with spiritual eyes. Oh, young people, today people say that spiritual things, they are things that we do not know if they exist or not. And the natural things, they are the things that we know exist. We can see them, we can feel them, we can touch them. Yet it is just the other way around. Oh, all the natural things, what is their existence? What is it? It is nothing. And it shall be nothing. The heavens, they shall soon be rolled away as a scroll. And all the elements, they shall be dissolved, and they shall burn up with a fervent heat, the apostle writes. And the spiritual, they shall remain. And thus, when the soul may see with spiritual eyes, then he may bear a record of things that are more certain than all of this world. What does John say? What does John see with those soul's eyes? He says, "For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken." And again, another scripture saith, "They shall look on him whom they pierced." Oh, what did John here bear record of? Oh, he bore record that the death of Christ, that was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. John here bears record that what he has seen, that was a fulfillment of the promise of the Lord, the long-awaited promise unto that Jewish people who were looking for the coming of the Messiah. Thus John, he bear record that the Lamb of God, he had now taken away the sin of the world, and that the antitype of all the sacrifices and the burnt offerings of the children of Israel that had now been laid upon the altar of the Lord, and that all those long anticipated promises that were spoken of through the types and through the shadows, they were all perfectly fulfilled in the death of Jesus. Oh, the record of John that testifies that Christ, he laid down his life in a voluntary way. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He had power to lay it down. It was not taken from him, but he gave it up of himself. That was so necessary. It was so necessary in order that he should be that willing sacrifice, and that it should be received as such at the hands of his Father. Oh, the record of John. What does that testify? It testifies that he was willing to become a curse, not only in his life, but also in his death. Because what do we read? Oh, he testifies how that the Jews, oh, they said they went to Pilate, they do not want the body of Christ, the dead body of Christ, to hang upon that cross the next day. Why? Because the next day, that was the Passover. And now that body of Christ, that was to them polluting the land. Oh, he was a curse. He was a curse in his death. He was a curse even when he, after that he had died. The record of John, he records that Satan, he indeed did not, and he was not able to crush him, because there was not a single bone of his whole body that was broken. And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true. Why? That ye might believe. Oh, faith, true faith, that does not like slippery ground. Oh, it likes a certain ground. It likes absolute truth. And John bear record, that was in order that the true church may believe that Christ truly died for their sin. As the Paschal Lamb, that was his intention. Why? Because that church, oh, they have such a difficult time to believe. But their entire salvation and all the comfort of their soul, that does depend upon that faith. And the Lord, he gives them helps for it. Why? That ye might believe, that it might be to the honor of the Lord, that it might be to their comfort and their soul's salvation. O congregation, what profit is it to us to commemorate Good Friday if we do not know that he also died for our sin? That he died as a substitute also to take our place? Oh, did he die also for you? Did he die also for me? Say, how can we know it? It can only be received by a true saving faith. As John says here, that ye might believe. There are multitudes of people in this world that do not believe anything about God. They do not believe anything about religion. Some of them have never heard the testimony of John. Can you imagine that, children? We are so used to it. It is a common thing. We read the Bible every day. We go to church when we are able. We listen to the Word of God. You go to school, your teachers, your parents. Oh, it happens every day. Can you imagine what that would be if you didn't know anything? If you did not know what a Bible was? If you had never heard the Bible read before, preached before? Oh, may the Lord bring the testimony of John and the entire Word of God to the world in which we are living. There are also multitudes of people who do not believe anything about Christ. They reject him as the true Messiah. Oh, the Lord, open their ears for the testimony, for the record of the Apostle John. There are also multitudes of people. They believe that Christ died for their sins. And yet, the Lord Jesus said that many of them are mistaken. They make an assumption with the testimony, with the record of John. They jump from the objective word to make immediately a subjective application. Will you be careful with that, young people? Do you know who is most careful with that? That is those who are born again, because that is a people who are very afraid and that they would deceive themselves. Or then they say, I want to hear it from the Lord himself, out of his own mouth. Because the Lord says, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. But now there is a people for whom this word, this record of the Apostle John, that is intended. There is a word, there is a people for whom that this record is directed by the Lord. And who is that people? A congregation. John, he makes a testimony about a substitute, the substitute. And thus, this is a record for the sake of a people who need a substitute. For the sake of a people who cannot do without the sacrifice. That is for a people who are not able to win that warfare that the church militant is made to fight. It is for a people for whom sin that has become Goliath, that has become too great for them, and they are not able to fight against that enemy. That was so in the Old Testament already. There was a people for whom those daily sacrifices, did you ever read them in the Word of God? How many were there? Oh, there were so many. You say maybe children, if you read those chapters, the book of Numbers, this sacrifice, the burnt offerings, the sin offerings, the peace offerings, the bullocks and the rams and the lambs and the goats and oh, so many, many sacrifices. What a burden, we say, that was must have been unto that people. Yeah, I think so. I think for a great number of that people, that was a daily burden. But do you know that there were other people for whom that was not a burden? Oh, that was a people that had received hope and an expectation in that those sacrifices. That was not to them just a matter of speculation of their minds. No, that was a people who could not die and who could not appear before God. Oh, the Lord had come. The Lord had showed himself in his majesty. The Lord had come down upon that Mount Sinai. Oh, the Lord had given to them his holy, holy, holy law. Oh, they have seen the thunderings and the lightnings. Oh, they have fled from that majesty of the Lord. In the giving of his law, they have pleaded for a mediator. Why? Because every transgression and every disobedience, oh, that receive its just recompense of reward. You read it in the Bible, in the wilderness. Then you read children. Then there was a man, he went out on the Sabbath day to pick up sticks. To pick up sticks. And that man, they brought him to Moses. Moses went unto the Lord. And the Lord said, let the people stone him with stones for picking up sticks upon the Sabbath day. Oh, do we understand something of the holiness of the law of God, of the strict requirements of the law of God, the law that the Lord, he cannot pass over a single sin? Oh, there is a people, they cannot believe. Why? Ah, they see and they feel the wretchedness that is in their heart. They see and they feel every transgression. Ah, they are not merely in the deeds. They are the transgression also in the words. Oh, and mostly in the thoughts. Mostly what is not seen by other people. The motives, the vanity, the carnality, the sin that is all living in their heart. Well, they cannot believe that they would be accepted by the Lord. Why? Because the Lord says in his word that fornicators and adulterers and thieves and covetous, they shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Or they cannot believe that they can be reconciled unto God. Why not? Because this nature that is so incurably corrupt, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Why? Oh, this law, not the exception, but the law that is in my members. And now it is just to this people. It is just to this people that John bear record. Why? That ye might believe. Oh, that ye might believe what? Oh, that ye might believe that Christ has truly died for the sin of his people. Oh, that you might truly believe that that Lamb of God has taken away the sin of the world, not only of the Jew, but also of the Gentile. Oh, that you may truly believe that the blood and the water that has flowed out of the side of that blessed mediator, oh, for justification and for sanctification, for a complete redemption, for forgiveness of sin and of guilt, but also of cleansing, for the acquittal before the judge, but also for making a renewal, that I may become a new man. Oh, and that you may believe that he died for sinners, even as you feel and experience yourself to be day by day. No, he did not die for everyone, but he died for sinners. He died for those who are ungodly. Most are not. Most are not. Are we congregation? Most of us, we are righteous. No, not in truth, but in our feelings, in our apprehensions of ourselves. But the Lord Jesus, he says, I come not to call the righteous, but I come to call sinners to repentance. Oh, that you might believe it, poor sinner, because it is the truth. That is the purpose of the testimony of John, that it may be for your comfort, that it may be for your consolation and for your salvation, or that you may receive spiritual eyes, the eyes of John, that may look and that may see, that may behold the efficacy of that water and that blood for your own poor soul, or that you may be given eyes to see a divine justice satisfied and sin subdued for each and every one that do bow down themselves under that burden day by day. For John, he says, he that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O do look upon us when we are yet righteous in ourselves. There is no place for thee, but look upon the sinners in the midst of us. O Lord, those who are black, oh, do show them their comeliness, that it is a comeliness that is given by thee, and that it is sufficient to cover all their blackness. Oh, do show to them that sin that was so completely paid, that there is nothing more that needs to be added from a guilty and a sinful people. O thy grace, O Lord, that is as wide as the ocean, so that that publican, he had to smite upon his breast and say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And he went down to his house justified by true saving faith, a faith that is a gift of God, by which he may take hold of that which thou hadst given unto him, or granted unto us also, for the first or by renewal. Wilt thou look upon us in the rest of this night, and care for us in the days to come? Wilt thou give that we may be gathered also round about thy truth upon thy holy day, upon the day of Easter, when we may commemorate the resurrection of thy dear Son with his church from the grave? Oh, that thou may give place in our hearts for these things, that they may be matters that we may experience together for the good of our souls, for the glory of thy name. Forgive all that was amiss in this evening, and we may acknowledge thee for all that thou hast given. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 446, stanzas 2 and 4. If thou shouldst mark transgression, O Lord, who then could stand? For evil and oppression are found on every hand. And what follows in stanzas 2 and 4 of Psalter 446.
Thank you.
Receive now the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.